The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. If you, maybe like a lot of us, get kind of overwhelmed by the constant confusing headlines about the U.S. southern border.
Well, today we are cracking open a really essential book.
Yeah, absolutely. We're diving into Jonathan Blitzer's huge work, Everyone Who Is Gone Is Here.
And this book, it's less about the, you know, the day-to-day news cycle.
Right. Much more about the history behind those headlines. Blitzer's whole argument is that these recurring migration crises we keep seeing, they're not just spontaneous things or invasions like you sometimes hear.
No, not at all.
They're the direct, predictable, and frankly, tragic results of something like four decades of U.S. foreign policy and domestic choices focused on Central America.
That really is the core mission here, isn't it? Blitzer just refuses to accept that common story that migration is some simple, voluntary choice people make.
Mm-hmm.
He reframes it completely, calls it forced displacement.
Wow.
Basically, a kind of a systemic blowback that's rooted firmly in actions the U.S. took. It's a pretty painful historical corrective, especially for an American audience.
Definitely. And crucially, he also shows how the American immigration system itself is, well, almost structurally designed to fail.
Exactly. You just can't grasp the complexity of what's happening now without facing this this hidden history, this self-made history, where the U.S. actually helped create the instability that drives people north in the first place.
Okay, so before we really jump into this, I mean, it's a challenging narrative. Let's talk about the author, our guide through this. Who is Jonathan Blitzer?
So Blitzer's a staff writer at The New Yorker. He spent, what, nearly a decade now?
Yeah.
Covering immigration, politics, Latin America, and he's won major awards for it. National Magazine Award, Edward R. Murrow. He's deeply sourced.
And what I find fascinating about his approach, it's not just academic, right? He's built this expertise through actual sustained on-the-ground reporting. He's been at the border. He's been in the immigration courts. He's talked to people in detention centers. But he's also been in the halls of power in D.C.
Yeah, he manages to bridge that really difficult gap.
Mm.
He understands the, you know, the sterile policy decisions made in Washington.
Right. The memos, the laws.
But he also has the journalistic experience to show exactly how those decisions ripple outwards, how they devastate communities, shatter individual lives down in Central America. He sees both sides, the strategy and the human cost, all at once.
He feels like a definitive chronicler because he just won't let us forget the faces behind those statistics.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. Blitzer's main argument, his central thesis, is that the U.S. has been trapped in this single devastating self-made cycle for basically 40 years.
A self-made cycle?
Yeah, a loop that just keeps feeding itself.
Okay, walk us through that loop. It's this, well, devastatingly simple when you put it like that.
It kind of is. Step one, U.S. foreign policy creates deep political and social instability in Central America. Think civil wars, economic disruption.
Okay, got it.
Step two, that instability, it generates waves of refugees, people fleeing for their actual lives.
Makes sense.
Step three, then U.S. domestic policy punishes those refugees, usually through things like mass deportation.
Right, sending them back.
And step four, here's the kicker. That deportation often makes conditions worse back home. It destabilizes things further, which then fuels the next wave of migration. It just keeps going. These crises are direct results of U.S. actions.
Wow. So every significant wave, you're saying starting way back with the Reagan administration, you can trace it back to a specific American policy choice. That really forces a shift in how we think about responsibility, doesn't it?
Completely. And running alongside that history, that causality, the book hits hard on the modern system too. Blitzer argues the whole U.S. immigration apparatus is basically designed to be dysfunctional. He calls it a labyrinth of deterrence.
A labyrinth of deterrence, meaning the bureaucracy itself is the punishment.
Pretty much. It's set up so it doesn't resolve cases efficiently or humanely.
It feels like the goal, especially more recently, is just to make seeking refuge so incredibly difficult, so painful, so drawn out that people just give up.
Which fundamentally chips away at the whole legal and moral idea of asylum, you know?
Yeah. Okay, let's ground this. Let's start back with the roots. The 1980s, Blitzer calls this part the Genesis and the American Crucible.
Right. This is where that anti-communist crusade really kicks in. The 80s, Reagan administration, the U.S. intervened heavily in El Salvador's civil war.
Pouring in money, military aid.
Billions, supporting these repressive right-wing governments and death squads. Essentially, the U.S. funded the very source of the violence people were fleeing.
And the personal stories here are just gut-wrenching. He highlights people like Juan Romagosa.
Oh, that case is harrowing. A surgeon, right, brutally tortured by government forces. His crime, treating the poor and wounded during the war.
So the first wave of people coming north, they weren't really economic migrants in the way we might think now. They were refugees, fleeing violence the U.S. government was directly subsidizing.
Precisely. The U.S. created the fire they were forced to run from. So these refugees arrive, late 80s, early 90s, often deeply traumatized. They land in places like Los Angeles.
Marginalized, trying to survive.
And for self-protection, really, they form street groups, including one called Mara Salvatrucha MS-13.
Ha! So MS-13 starts in L.A., among Salvadoran refugees.
Yes. And then comes the crucial turning point, the moment of, like, catastrophic blowback. Mid-1990s, the Clinton administration gets caught up in that whole tough-on-crime wave.
Right, I remember that era.
And Congress passes this huge law in 1996, the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act, usually called IRIRA.
IRIRA, okay, that sounds important. Why was it such a turning point?
Because it massively expanded the list of crimes that could get a non-citizen deported, even relatively minor stuff, things that happened years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it made it much harder to fight deportation. The consequence was sudden, large-scale mass deportation back to Central America.
Think about that irony for a second. The U.S. basically lets a gang problem germinate on its own soil in L.A.
Incubated it, you could say.
And then through this law, IRIRA, it essentially exported a contagion, as Blitzer puts it, back to these fragile Central American countries. Countries that had absolutely no way to handle sophisticated, frankly, U.S.-trained gang members landing on their doorstep.
It's a staggering level of systemic irony. The quote-unquote solution to a domestic issue we helped create ended up multiplying the violence exponentially back in Central America.
Turning a domestic headache into an international humanitarian disaster.
And that leads us right into part two of the book, Blowback and the Crisis Years, starting in the 2000s, because the fallout from those mass deportations was almost immediate.
So these U.S.-trained gang members land back home.
And with their organizational skills, their experience, they quickly overpower the local police, the local authorities in places like El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. They set up these hyper-violent extortion rackets, forced recruitment, targeting kids.
It sounds less like typical crime and more like a destabilizing force, almost like warfare.
It effectively recreated the conditions of the civil wars they'd fled. This intense violence becomes the main engine of modern migration. Blitzer describes this brutal choice families face. You either join the gang, ver, pay impossible extortion, pagar, or you flee, volar.
Ver, pagar, o volar. Join, pay, or fly.
Exactly. Fleeing becomes a necessity for survival. It's not a casual decision.
And yet, when we saw those huge waves of unaccompanied minors starting around, 2014? U.S. policymakers seemed totally caught off guard. Blitzer calls it historical amnesia.
That's the term he uses. The Obama administration, for instance, mostly treated that 2014 crisis as, a logistical problem, something to be managed with more border agents, more deportations.
Yeah, I miss the history.
They failed to grasp the deep historical roots we just talked about, that this wasn't new. It was four decades in the making. It needed a structural, maybe even a foreign policy response, not just enforcement at the border.
And then, of course, we saw the radical shift under the Trump administration, with Stephen Miller really steering things towards pure deterrence.
Yeah, that era marked a shift from, let's say, systemic dysfunction to something more like deliberate cruelty, policies like zero tolerance.
Family separation.
Right, that systematic family separation. And remain in Mexico, forcing asylum seekers into dangerous conditions across the border. These were designed explicitly to weaponize the system itself.
The goal was basically to inflict pain, to make the process so awful that people would stop coming, and maybe even dismantle the whole idea of asylum.
It's a history that really forces you to see how often policies seem designed to frustrate, maybe even to fail, rather than to actually solve the root causes.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize this. What are the key themes, the big messages Blitzer wants us, the readers, you listening, to really absorb? This is where we move from the historical facts to the necessary reflection, right?
Right. First, and maybe most critical, direct causality. Blitzer hammers this home. U.S. actions are chapter one of this migration story. The U.S. is, in many ways, the primary architect.
We're not innocent bystanders?
Not at all. Yeah. And tied right into that is the idea of the creation and exportation of the game problem. If you hear politicians talking about Central America being inherently chaotic or violent, Blitzer shows very clearly that the hyperviolence of gangs like MS-13 isn't some inherent feature. It's a direct result of a specific U.S. policy mass deportation that basically offshored a problem created in Los Angeles. It's a catastrophic blowback.
Okay, that's huge. What else?
Third, and this makes it harder to just dismiss Loncardi lines, is the bipartisan nature of policy failure. This isn't just one administration's fault.
Right, it spans decades.
Exactly. Reagan's intervention started it. Clinton's punitive laws were devastating. Obama couldn't break the cycle.
Yeah.
They all played a part.
Which means we have to look beyond just blaming one party or the other.
And address the institutional dysfunction itself. That idea of the labyrinth of deterrence. The system, the bureaucracy, has become the punishment. And that has severely eroded the legal and moral foundation of asylum. It's like cruelty became a feature, not a bug.
Wow. The sheer power of Blitzer's work isn't just in the history, is it? It's also in some of the specific ways he phrases things, these lines that just stick with you.
Oh, definitely. The title itself is maybe the most powerful insight. Everyone who is gone is here.
Yeah, explain that one.
Well, on one level, it's literal. The people who are forced to leave, who are gone from their homes, they're literally here at the border. But it's deeper, too. The ghosts of the past, the wars, the policies, the deported gang members, they're all still present. They're here, actively shaping today's reality.
That's profound. It connects the past and present so tightly. And then there's that stark summary of the 90s deportation policy. We didn't just deport people. We deported a crisis.
Mm-hmm. So concise, but it captures the massive miscalculation, doesn't it? That moment when a domestic immigration goal turned into an international humanitarian catastrophe because nobody considered the fragility of the countries they were sending people back to.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wow. And finally, he really highlights the moral tension in our laws with this idea. The law treats as criminals people whose only crime was seeking safety or opportunity.
It forces you to confront that uncomfortable truth, right? That our legal system has ended up criminalizing the very human act of seeking refuge, seeking a better life.
So, thinking about you listening right now, you read this book, you absorb this history. What does it let you do differently? How does this knowledge apply in real life when you see the news?
Well, number one, it fosters informed citizenship. Seriously. This book gives you the tools to actually question the headlines. When a politician says, oh, there's a new wave of migrants.
You can ask why.
Exactly. You can ask, okay, what specific U.S. policy decision maybe years ago helped drive this specific wave? It lets you see past the simple, often misleading political talking points and push for, you know, actual reform.
And it has to make you question the focus on enforcement-only solutions.
Absolutely. That's the second point. Understanding the limits of enforcement. Blitzer's entire book is basically a 40-year argument proving that just building walls, hiring more agents, or even being deliberately cruel, it can't solve the problem.
Because the push factors are too strong.
Right. As long as the violence and instability pushing people out of their homes are stronger than the deterrence the U.S. puts up, people will find a way. They have to. So this insight should lead us to advocate for policies that address the root causes, things like anti-corruption work, targeted development aid in Central America, not just more fences.
And maybe the most profound application, it's about empathy, isn't it?
I think so. That's the third thing, developing empathy. By focusing so much on individual stories, on people like Juan Romagosa, the book is a powerful antidote to all the fear-mongering out there.
You can't see migrants as just a faceless mob or a threat anymore.
No. You see individuals, parents making impossible choices, often just trying to save their kids. It makes it much harder to dehumanize people when you understand the history that forced them to move.
So if we had to leave our listeners with just one key takeaway from everyone who is gone is here, what would it be?
For me, it's that context is everything. Migration isn't just some random event happening at the border. It's a symptom. A symptom of deep political instability that, as Blitzer shows, the United States played a major role in creating and co-authoring.
Which means there's a responsibility there.
A moral and political responsibility, absolutely. It stems from finally acknowledging that the U.S. isn't just an innocent bystander in this whole story.
And my final thought builds on that. Blitzer makes it clear that the biggest failure, the reason we seem stuck, is this historical amnesia. Forgetting how we got here.
Mm.
So the only way forward, it seems, is through an honest reckoning with this shared history.
Yeah.
And rejecting the idea that this chaos, this systemic dysfunction at the border is just inevitable. It's not. It was built.
And maybe it can be unbuilt, or at least changed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.